With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Construction started on a new state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in Lac-des-Flambeau. Business leaders say it will take the long-running Simpson Electric Company into the next stage of product innovation. WXPR's Katie Thorson reports.
Simpson Electric has a long history going back nearly 100 years ago. It was started in the late 1920s by Ray Simpson, supplying early products to NASA.
And kind of got them on the map, and since branched out and started producing products for industry, different industries, test meters and panel meters that are used pretty extensively for diagnosing difficult electronic troubleshooting issues.
That's General Manager Kevin Deckard. He's helping bring Simpson Electric to the next stage in its growth, with new product innovation, rebranding, and a push to international markets. To help meet this rebirth, as Deckard calls it, Simpson Electric broke ground last week on a new facility in Lac-des-Flambeau.
And right now, with us having two buildings that are all broken up in different areas, it just doesn't flow well. And so a fresh start to be able to, we've laid out the equipment already, so we know what that's going to look like, and it's going to be a much more productive environment for us.
Simpson Electric is fairly unique among manufacturers. Falling under the Lac-des-Flambeau Business Development Corporation, roughly half of its 54 employees are Native American. It's also one of the few manufacturers in Vilas County where only about 6% of employment falls into the manufacturing category.
We have 53 employees currently who have a combined 800 years of service at Simpson. So that's an average of 15 years per employee. So there's a loyalty and a dedication to the cause, right, of producing a good part for the customer and providing employment for the community. And I think because of that tight-knitness with the community, there's always availability of resources. And a lot of our processes are scalable in terms of adding additional labor resources to be able to grow to meet demand from our customers.
The facility is being built near the Lac-des-Flambeau Business Development Corporation. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says it will stop scheduling patients for abortions starting next week. The decision comes as it works to provide service in the face of Medicaid funding cuts in President Donald Trump's tax and spending bill. Abortion funding across the U.S. has been under siege, particularly Planned Parenthood affiliates, which are the biggest provider. The organization warned earlier this year that about half of its clinics that provide abortion could be closed as a result of a ban on Medicaid funding for the nonprofit for services other than abortion. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin said Thursday it would pause scheduling abortions after the new law takes effect on Wednesday. Both Shawnee and Portage counties have reported their first human case of West Nile virus this year. According to health workers, West Nile virus is spread to people through the bite of an infected mosquito. Most people who are infected do not get sick. Mild symptoms include fever, headache, muscle ache, rash, and fatigue. Severe cases, although rare, can lead to serious health issues. Health officials urge people to apply insect repellent prior to heading outdoors or wear long-sleeve shirts, pants, and socks to keep mosquitoes away from your skin. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. Wildlife experts call this a magical time of year as monarch butterflies have begun their migration from their northern breeding grounds to central Mexico for the winter, with recent sightings in Wisconsin. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The journey takes about 2.5 months, with the arrival of the monarchs coinciding with a significant cultural holiday in Mexico known as Día de los Muertos that honors past loved ones. Entomology professor Karen Oberhauser with the University of Wisconsin-Madison says the celebration likely predates awareness of monarch migration, but the serendipitous timing creates a meaningful connection.
Out of this chrysalis that looks kind of dead, this beautiful butterfly breaks free of the bonds of the earth and flies. So you can see why a lot of cultures see this as synonymous with rebirth, this whole process of metamorphosis.
Oberhauser says monarchs fly during the day and roost at night. The migration is tracked through citizen sightings, with roosts sometimes containing hundreds or thousands of butterflies. People can aid monarchs' migration by creating habitats of milkweed and nectar sources where the butterflies can stop along the way. Only those known as super generation monarchs, which live significantly longer than non-migrating monarchs, make the thousands mile journey to the mountains of Mexico. Oberhauser says they weigh about the same as a paperclip, so mortality is to be expected. She explains exact figures of migration survival are difficult to measure, but researchers know that only about 2-5% of eggs and caterpillars even make it to adulthood.
And then this final generation, this 2-5% has to migrate all the way to Mexico and come partway back. So it's really an incredible story of survival against incredible odds.
Oberhauser notes monarchs primarily use day length rather than temperature as migration cues, though climate change can affect migration conditions, with hot and dry temperatures being particularly detrimental. She says there's evidence that more monarchs are joining non-migratory populations along the Gulf Coast instead of completing the full migration to Mexico, though most still make the complete journey. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz, Branch reporting.
Soybean producers across the country are getting ready to export their crop, but China, their biggest customer, has not placed a single order for the upcoming market year. Where does that put American farmers? Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports.
China buys over half of all exported American soybeans. Its absence has sent soybean farmers scrambling for options for the beans they just can't sell. One option is storing the beans until spring, which farmers like Kayla Rosenoff from North Dakota say carries its own set of issues.
I've talked to many neighbors now, and they've said, you know, if our bins get filled up with beans and corn, we can't store both of them.
Instead, producers could sell to local crushers, which process the beans into oil and meal to then sell to other countries directly. But Rosenoff says it's a band-aid to a problem where the only cure might be a deal with China. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.